Blog Talk Radio.
It's a little delayed, but that's
well, it's not delayed. The audience was ready for the show.
Well, you know what? We should have
been. They died after you put that on.
No. They should have. It should have been the show a couple of weeks ago, but it wasn't. But that's our theme. Welcome,
Happy
people.
New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year. Welcome to She's Raising the Bar on Blog Talk Radio, and it is the first show of the season.
Yes.
And it is about, you know, it's just that thing that we do with New Year's resolutions, and it's just the most, you know, I always think that we as humans are a very social being, and we need to do things as a collective. So I think that when we make a New Year's resolution, the fact that we're doing it with other people helps fortify us and helps support us. And I think that that's probably why we do it. And that's what the show is about today, people. Welcome to yet another week with us. And thank you for all our loyal followers who have been with us for the past 5 years at least and counting. And I just want to wish everybody hopefully a wonderful start to the new year and hopefully everything good for 2018. Everything that you didn't have in 2017, I'm hoping that you have in 2018. And I think that's the best anybody could hope for anybody else. And let me welcome.
But let me ask you
something. Go ahead, darling.
Do you have any New Year's resolutions?
Yeah.
You do? What are they?
I just want to just be a little easier with the challenges that I take, and as far as moving seamlessly into other opportunity, I think I just need to relax a little bit more and just embrace them and make them fun and not worry so much about what's not happening, but embracing more what happened, you know. And I think that's the healthiest thing that most people could do. First of all, before we get into our personal stuff, let me introduce the cast of characters.
Okay.
Always sitting to my left and very close to my heart is the lovely Lily Ziegelman.
Thank you so much.
And Lori Towers is me. See, that never changes.
No,
every
you
new
win.
We just never get past that. No. But today's show is about, you know, how we, the New Year's resolutions, do they work, do they not work?
I think it's just pressure on every individual.
You know, the funny thing is, I think that New Year's Eve is, I always have a good time New Year's Eve. And our husbands and I, we all went out this New Year's and we had a good time. And I always think that New Year's Eve is kind of amateur hour. It's like, it's forced happiness.
Right.
There are some people that just
a lot of pressure on people
can't deal with whatever pressure that night places on you as far as being happy, being this, being that, having it all
and
together.
Pressure to stay up until midnight.
Well, that yeah. That and God bless the people, and we're live from Gotham. God bless the people that
crazy.
Line up, especially this New Year's, which was 12 degrees.
I think that's a lot.
Wasn't it 12 degrees?
I think it was less than that.
It probably was with the wind chill.
Oh, my God.
And people were lined up in Times Square from 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, 2 o'clock.
It's when you have to be there.
And you can't move. You can't go to the bathroom. I heard people wearing diapers, you know. You can't bring anything to drink.
You have to.
Then you have to go to the bathroom. You can't do anything.
And you can't. They do have those port-a-sans. They do have them, but you have
to
find your way back to the people who live. And honestly, and again, I could say this as a native, there's nothing that would attract me to do that.
Couldn't pay me $1 million.
There's not enough liquor. There's not enough money. And the thing is, you wait for those hours for that 1 minute, and you are literally swept onto the subway, and they clean up. And I mean, don't forget, New York has to get back into business the next day, so whatever that day falls on, they sweep up, and they sweep
they
you
have
on,
to.
On the subways, and that's where you are for New Year's Eve. So, but in saying that, we put such pressure on ourselves, and it's my theory is, just you could start New Year's. You could start any type of health program, any type of fitness resolution. You can do that at any point in your life.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily have to be New Year's. But I want to go into, before we bring on a great friend to the show and someone I'm sure that has had her fill of New Year's resolutions and hearing about people's New Year's fitness resolutions. Tammy Lee Webb, who is a fitness celebrity, Buns of Steel. I could go on and on and on, but certainly has her place in fitness history. And I'm sure she's heard over the years, every year somebody has, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to lose 20 pounds. I'm going to do this. It's never I'm going to gain weight. It's never that. It's always the I'm going to do, this is going to be the year that I'm going to do it. And for some reason, when we marginalize ourselves, when we put that much pressure on ourselves, it really never works. But I want to go into the origins of New Year's resolutions. And this is interesting. I'm going into the religious origins. The Babylonians used to, on New Year's Day, they made promises to the gods at the start of every year that they would return borrowed objects and pay their debts back with this. So that is what they did at the beginning of every year.
What was the borrowed object?
Well, whatever they did as far as, well, give us this and we'll give you that. You know, that whole, you know, that prayer barter system that happens in any religion.
I see what you're saying.
And that's what they did. So that's what they did sanctimoniously. They made the promises back to the gods that they would do this in return to this, which is really what we do. The Romans began each year by making promises to the god Janus, which is funny. Janus is what the god Janus is what January was named for.
Oh,
so this is, yeah, and you go through the line, you realize that everybody at the beginning of every year, it might have been different in theory, but everybody did it, and the Christians had what they called was watch night services, and they would prepare every year by praying and making these revolutions. And in Judaism, Rosh Hashanah, obviously, was the high holy day, and it ended with Yom Kippur, and that's where the resolutions and the atonement and making these belief systems come to fruition for the following year. So everybody has this, and it's just funny that everybody decided the clean slate was the way to do it. And you know what? I maybe screwed up in the year before, but it's going to be better now. And I always wonder, is it really? Do people really?
I think some people do.
I hope so. But I
not
hope
many,
people,
but some people do.
You know, I hope that people don't beat themselves up. If they don't, and they continue,
well, that's what happens a lot. They fall off the wagon,
yeah.
And they never get back on, saying, "Okay, you know what? I did it. I ruined it. I'm not going to go do it again."
And that's the sad part, because I just think, pick yourself up, dress yourself,
I'll make yourself feel better,
and just do it. It's okay.
Right.
So I think she's on the line.
Yes, I'll bring her on.
I think she is. Our lovely Tammy Lee Webb. Are you there, darling?
I am. Hi,
ladies. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year's. I'm honored that I'm like your first one in 2018.
You are. And, you know, anybody who was listening last week and just blinking, like, what happened?
Yeah, what happened?
We had technical
the show didn't come on.
Yeah, and so here we are now, and Happy New Year to you.
And thank you for coming back on.
Thank you, darling. Yeah,
absolutely.
So,
I
so
never
what are
miss
feelings,
you, girl.
What are your feelings on New Year's resolutions?
Personally, I hate them.
Okay, there you go. Good, perfect.
Only because I think we set ourselves up for failure.
Mm-hmm.
And we usually go, okay, this is what I want. And they're really putting out something that's unattainable.
Yeah.
So It's I'm going to get back down. I'm going to lose my 20 pounds. And yeah. most of the time when they're focusing on the pounds or they have a goal of whatever that is,
yeah.
it's based on something that they weighed like 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's not going to happen. And so people put goals down and they go gung-ho and they burn out. So it's almost like
yep.
climbing a ladder. If you're going to take the first step, you got to take the second and the third and the fourth. But they want to go from, you know, 0 to 100 right away because that's our society now. Everything
yep.
is instant gratification.
Quick, exactly right.
Instant, yes. And it doesn't work that way.
No,
real life doesn't work that way. And if you slow down and be kinder to yourself,
yeah.
have realistic goals, then you're more likely to accomplish them.
Yep, I think so too. But, you know, it's funny because what I was saying in the beginning of the show, we're social creatures, and I think that when we have each other as buffers and as a soft
yes.
place to land, it's easier for all of us as a collective to say, you know what, this is how we're going to do it. This year is going to be different. And I know a few people that actually have said, I'm going to give up smoking, I'm going to give up drinking, and they've done it. But honestly, I would say that's in the 10% range of
yeah,
the
but
people,
some people
that
do.
Yeah.
They do. No, no, no,
right.
no, no.
I mean,
no
we're not going to put down everybody.
No, they do. But the thing is, like Tammy Lee was saying, when you make these ridiculous...
High expectations always bring you down.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I think we feel better if we're doing it in uniform,
step
if we're doing
step.
It in concert with people
mm-hmm.
that are with us, so that if we fail, we know that there are people that kind of fell back with us,
right.
as
exactly.
odd as that is. You know? And
yeah,
I think
it does. I always tell people, if you can get a buddy or a partner to do something with you. So let's just talk weight loss for right now. So if somebody says, you know, I really want to do this, and their best friend is kind of in the same situation. So let's say you both need, you know, would love to just drop 10 pounds, and that's being realistic. So, okay, we're going to do this together because we're going to keep each other accountable.
Right.
But the goal really shouldn't be about dropping the 10 pounds, because then what happens is that you're constantly focusing on the weight. So
right.
you get up every morning, you're weighing yourself,
mm-hmm.
and if it's not what you want it to be, so let's say you started your nutrition diet and you lost 2 pounds, and then on day 4 you went up a pound.
Right.
That doesn't tell you anything other than maybe you're carrying some
yeah.
water weight.
Right.
So it's changing the focus, not focusing so much on what it is that you're wanting to accomplish,
yeah.
but how you want to feel. How do you want to feel every day? I want to get up and I'm going to set my intentions. So by just setting your intentions. So setting your intentions, you could say, well, that's my New Year's resolution. This is what my goal is. No, setting my intentions is every morning when I wake up, this is kind of what I do.
Good.
Is I wake up and I first just give gratitude that it's another day that I could get to do something, hopefully
yeah.
for others, myself, for my family, and I'm ever so grateful. So I go through this gratitude, and then I go, here's my intentions for the day. So you girls were my intentions for the day, that I'm going to make sure I don't forget it. I'm online, and it's going to be a great talk, and people will get something from this. So that's setting an intention. And then it's moving on to the rest of my day, setting those intentions and how I want the outcome to be. So for my body is I'm going to nourish it. I'm going to give it something really healthy, and I'm going to give it some physical exercise today. Now, on my schedule, sometimes I don't always have time to go to the gym to work out or even working out in my home, but I have a dog. The dog needs to be walked.
Uh-huh.
At least I'm getting out there. So, yeah, so if you've got a partner or a buddy
right.
and you're doing this together, it's checking in with each other. How are you feeling today? Are you feeling good? Don't get on the scale. Let's just give our bodies what it is that we're wanting. Don't focus on the scale. Focus
right.
on, yes, I want to eat right. Yes, I want to get some physical activity.
Yeah.
And then let's say in 2 weeks you want to jump on the scale, then that's fine. But it's not about what the scale says. It's about How are you feeling? Mm-hmm. Are you owning this? Are you being really true to yourself?
Yeah. And don't let the scale ruin your day.
Absolutely.
I mean, it could derail the whole day.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
People just go on that scale, and they just depends on the scale for what the kind of mood they're going
to
be in.
And you know what I find to be a bit disturbing? I mean, again, you know, all of us are in shape. The three of us are in shape. And that, you know, praise God, we've earned that. But there are people that I always tell people, you know what you should do as a New Year's resolution? Sometime in January when your insurance is online, you get a physical. That's really, I mean, go for all the tests. I mean, after a certain age, all the tests that you need to take, you know, have blood.
It doesn't matter how great.
But see, this is what I'm saying. Nobody does that.
Right.
They will make the resolutions of deprivation. I won't eat this. I won't eat that.
I'll join a gym without knowing, you know.
But go for a physical.
Right.
You need to know what's going on in your body because you will know eventually.
Right.
So do it now.
Your body tells
you. So many people shy away from that. Yep. So many people shy away from that. And that, I find, is the most disturbing thing because, yeah, being in shape is wonderful. The appearance of being in shape is wonderful, but you also have to know what's going on in your body.
On the inside.
Yeah, so that if there's something you need to address, you do it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that never shows up on people's New Year's resolutions. The physical doesn't happen. Nope.
No, wouldn't it be great that if it was mandatory that when you go to each year you go and get a body scan? But of course, getting a full body scan is so expensive that people don't do it.
But if
you got a body scan, you're able to see so much more and going, wow, something's there. And I haven't noticed it before. I don't feel bad, but maybe I need to take a look into it. Wouldn't we drop our insurance costs and medical bills and the whole situation that is just out of whack now?
It's really terrible. It's really bad. And that's why a lot of people get sick without realizing it because they don't know. They can't afford a doctor. They can't afford the tests.
Exactly. So this is what happened to me last year. Of course, I didn't post this. The only time I ever mentioned it was in one of my podcasts is that last year, I started off the year in a boot and a scooter because I had broken my ankle that previous November. And that was, boy, a real eye-opener because all of a sudden I couldn't teach my classes, I couldn't work out. I was just, and I got really kind of down and depressed, and it took a lot to keep myself, you know, going. And then, not that you really know, so paying attention to your body, the thing that helped me was obviously there was something physically going on with my body, but I was all of a sudden, you know, I'm a woman in menopause, you know, not having any menstruals is great. It's the best part of it, right?
Great. Yeah.
Well, all of a sudden, I'm having one, and I'm like, whoa, something isn't right, and it's getting worse and worse. So, I go to my doctor, and they do some tests, and it comes back that it's cancer, cancer of the uterus,
right?
And it's like, okay, well, let's just take care of this. What are we going to do? Well, you know, and I didn't even stop to hesitate. I think I was in shock because once you hear that C word, you're kind of like, whoa,
like everything
whoa,
stands
whoa.
Still.
Yeah.
So you kind of go, whoa, okay. I just go in high mode of let's get this out of me. What do I need to do? And that's exactly what we did. I mean, from the time that I found out, we scheduled the surgery. I had a full hysterectomy. As it turned out, thank God, it was only stage one and really early, so I did not have to have any, you know, chemo or radiation. I was so lucky.
Yeah.
But again, I look at that and just go, well, I'm telling you, this whole, thank God I'm in tune with my body. I took care of it, so it didn't get to a part or to a point where it could have gone a wrong direction, right?
Exactly.
So today, you know, when you said, oh, you know, the three of us are in shape. Yes, I would consider myself in shape, but not really compared to what I'm usually at, right?
Right.
And it's because now I've been thrown into direct menopause where I can't take any bioidenticals. I can't take any hormones.
Yeah.
So I'm dealing with the weight gain, the mood swings, the night sweats, the hot flashes. And so instead of getting down about it, it's like, okay, I can get through this. It might just be another few more months. It just might be, but whatever it is, I know that if I eat right, mm-hmm. I'm exercising, I'm treating myself well, and I don't mean just the physical of this and the nutrition. I'm talking the mental.
That's what controls
the mental.
It all. That's really it. Yeah. It controls
it's
it all.
It's the voice in our head, right?
Yeah.
It's the voice in your head. What is that voice in your head telling you? So going back to the sorry, my dog and cat are playing. they're tackling each other. But going back to the let's get a New Year's resolution is the fact that we tend to focus on what the goal is and what we're trying to do instead of how we feel, and we eliminate the whole mental. So in our head, we're saying, okay, guys, enough.
Yeah.
Not that. My dog, I'm telling my dog and cat that. So if
I looked at Lee, shut up. Let it go.
I'm like, whoa, I'm getting off track here. So the voice in our head is constantly talking to us, and it's hard to shut it down.
Yeah.
But with practice, you can, and that's meditation. And a lot of people go, oh, I can't meditate. Well, of course you can't, because you're listening to everything else around you.
Right.
You're on your phone. You're so inundated with all of the stuff that's going around us and in your head. So in your head, you're going, oh, you didn't lose any weight. You're just, you know, what a loser. And the voice in your head is your best friend. And if you can't start there by being kinder to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I do when I sit down and look in the mirror to put on my face, I start with, well, hello, beautiful.
Good.
And
yeah.
Some days are hard. I go, okay, we're going to make it beautiful.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Right. That's exactly right.
But it's talking to myself. And your cells they're like sponges.
Yeah.
They will soak in whatever that feeling is. So if you're feeling bad about yourself and negative about yourself and you're calling yourself names and you feel bad if you're, you know, looking through Facebook or Instagram and you see all these beautiful bodies and you just get down on yourself, your body, your cells are seeking all of that in. You've got to eliminate that. Stop looking at that. You've got to be more proactive in the things that will motivate you and inspire you and make you feel good. I can't tell you enough about the feel of it. How does it make you feel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, see, we live our lives by comparison, and
well,
that
I'm
is going to
get
problem.
Into what I heard
that is
this
the problem.
Morning.
Go ahead.
Listen to this.
Go ahead.
This morning I was driving to the gym actually, and I was listening to a repeat of yesterday's show. Of some show that I listened to on the radio. And CVS, the big drugstore, is not going to sell cosmetics with edited pictures on top of it.
Is that right?
They said it's just no good for the consumer because what they're doing basically is lying to the women because they really don't look like that. They're all airbrushed, they're all beautiful, not a blemish and stuff like that. So now they're refusing any edited pictures
good
to sell their makeup, to
good
sell any
them.
Makeup on CVS.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Isn't that that's great. I think that will change a lot of especially teenagers and adolescents, you know, perspective of what they should be looking like.
Well, you know what? I think that Jamie Lee Curtis did something, I forgot, either with Glamour Magazine or
Yeah, she posed with no makeup
12
on.
12 years ago, and I thought that was no airbrushing.
Yeah, nothing.
And I said, that's very brave. And that's
Chutzpah.
Exactly, that's exactly what people need to see because we live our lives by comparison.
Well, it's
my legs are long.
They give us all this glamour that we're supposed to be, you know, looking like, you know, but that's not real.
It should be up to us to know that that might be tweaked.
We know that.
But
as young kids, they don't know that much unless we tell them. And, well, that's what the parents step
right.
in. And parents and parent mm-hmm. figures and
parents
aunts and godmothers.
And you know what?
Yeah.
Knowing, you know, kids, they're going to say, oh, my mother's just trying to make me feel better, you know, because she really does look like that, you know, because they see her on TV full of makeup,
of
you know,
course.
All glamored up. But we want to see her when she gets out of bed, rolls
yeah.
out of bed like
yeah.
we all do.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I mean,
well,
we live our lives in health by comparison.
right.
Exactly. And that's sad.
Yeah.
So I really feel my perspective of fitness, and when I look to fitness, you know, people on Instagram or Facebook or anywhere,
mm-hmm.
I really think it's like one time I posted a picture and it had a picture of a really buff girl,
mm-hmm.
and then it had one of a really just. You know, she wasn't buff, but she wasn't overweight. She was just normal.
Mm-hmm.
And I only did the bodies.
Yeah.
And I said, which one would you rather look like? And if you're wanting to look like the buff girl, then that's probably what you're wanting to be. That's their job. Their job is to inspire you to do
uh-huh.
this. But the reality of it is most of us should be striving for, hey, I'm healthy. I don't have ripped muscles. A lot of women don't want ripped muscles.
Yeah, no, they
so
don't.
When I think back, I sometimes go, you know, I don't want to be perfect. One, I'm not perfect, but I don't want anything to be touched up. I don't want it to be changed because this is me, and fitness really is. And health about the internal. And you
Absolutely.
Girls have heard me say this before.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It starts from all the internal organs. It's all about getting healthy and fit and feeling good. It's not about a ripped stomach, which, by the way, now, my abs of steel have, if I posted a picture of them, which I plan to do someday, I want to show the process of what my abs used to look like and what they look like
okay,
today.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I have 5 scars now across my stomach.
Of course, yeah.
And from the surgery, and I was allergic to the tape they put on there, so I got these blood blisters. And, yeah, so it's pretty scarred up.
Yeah.
But, it doesn't really bother me because I don't really walk around showing my abs. and as long as I know that I'm taking care of my body, so what if it's scarred up?
But you know something,
that's
Tammy Lee, I think that would be a great thing to do personally.
And you know what?
No, I think that would be inspirational.
I think it's very
women.
Inspirational,
yeah.
Totally. But you know, my mind is constantly going. But
what
I was thinking when I was in my 20s working out is totally different as what I'm thinking now when I'm working out. I tell Lori all the time, I go to the gym now to maintain.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go there to get bigger. I don't go there to get ripped.
Right.
I just go there for a healthy aspect of just maintaining what I have.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not looking to gain, lose, or anything like that. I'm just doing for the healthy,
But
healthy
isn't
part
that the
of
beauty of getting to be our age, too?
Yes, definitely. It's a totally different way of thinking.
We're a little bit better.
When I was
in
my
20s,
I was into the bodybuilding scene. I took
yeah.
this supplement, that supplement, mm-hmm. drank a ton of
yeah.
water. I did this. I do nothing like that anymore. I don't even buy, like, hardly any protein bars. Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
I eat what I want,
yeah.
and that's that. I work out every day. I'm healthy.
Yeah, it stopped stressing, but,
yeah,
you know, we all did it, and the young ones are going to do it, and I have
yeah.
to laugh sometimes because I'm like, you know, go ahead and work it while you have it because it's going to change,
it's
and if you think that it's
change.
Not,
I mean, I see
you're going to be
in
a
yeah,
rude
see,
awakening.
Yeah, see, now what my belief system is, and sometimes Elite and I vary on this, it's what we did then and what we're doing now that makes us look and feel. Not just looking, we feel the way we are
well,
now.
Well, that's never going to go
and
away because we feel good in our clothes, okay?
And you know what?
But I do not have the same body as I did in my
and you,
40s
and you know
my 30s.
That's okay. That's really
it's okay.
It's okay,
but sometimes I say to myself, look at all this hard work I put into myself, and I'm still sagging, and I'm still
but
looking
you don't,
older.
But you would be, you. The thing is, you would look
I would probably look even worse.
Didn't.
Right.
But you look great.
No, I'm just saying in general, because you still see your body getting old, no matter what.
You know,
yeah.
I think that our age, now don't forget, when all of us were working out back in the day, we're in our late 20s and our 30s, and we're so away from anything that makes us leave this planet.
Mm-hmm.
We are so away from
even, don't even
thinking
think about it.
That we may not be here the next day. At this age, I'm 55, you're 54. We realize that our contemporaries can pass. 20 years from now, we certainly should still be here, but you never know, we might not be here.
Right.
We never were given those thoughts in our 20s.
No,
you're not supposed to.
We think differently.
Now,
like I said, if I thought the way I did then, I would be a totally different person. I would, you know, the way I work out then, the way I work out now, forget it. I'd be a beast in the gym.
Yeah.
I just go there, I do my thing, and I leave. I don't think twice about what I'm doing anymore.
You know what?
Should I do 3 sets? Should I do 4 sets? It's not important anymore.
It's just life's process.
So I have a question.
Good.
I have a question for you girls
and
for the listeners.
Good.
I want you to describe yourself. So what would that sound like? What would you say? So without going off on a tangent, just say.
Is this physically or mentally or, you know, what you see yourself as other people see you?
I want you to throw in, no, not what other people see you as, how you see yourself in, like, in just a sentence or two. How do you see yourself?
Go, Lee.
Okay, go.
Go, Lee.
How I see myself. I see myself as a very dedicated person, loyal, and, you know, I'm a good person, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I really am a good person. Mm-hmm. I'm too nice for my
own
good
sometimes. Now describe your body, how you feel about your body.
My body, I think, is good, but it was better. That's what I'm going to say, you know. I do love my body, don't get me wrong, but I hate it out without clothes. Does that make sense? Because when I hit menopause, my skin just started changing. I have very dry skin to begin with, so now it sags even more. So it depresses me because I work so hard, and I always had
because
toned,
your
skin
is your largest organ, and it's one of those things that unless you're going and getting it nipped and tucked, it is what
no,
it
I'm
is.
Not. Right.
So,
exactly.
So all that hard work doesn't define you.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't, and that's why I don't care. You know, as I got older, you know, it makes you feel, you know, a little sad about it, but it doesn't define me, no.
Okay. Now I'm going to go.
Look.
You go ahead. I happen to think I look just as good as I did when I was 25 now, but the biggest thing is I know I live like a rock star. I'm completely comfortable in my skin, and I'm more confident.
Right.
That's the difference.
Well, I'm sure you will like that,
love,
too.
No, not at 25.
No?
25 and 55 is very different. 30 years makes a difference in what you've failed at and what you've, you know, your success rate has been. And the failures of what really moves you as a person. And I am much more happy in my skin than I was 30 years ago.
I'm happier in my skin now, too.
No, but I'm
just
saying.
I have to tell you that, too.
I'm at the happiest
I'm just not
point.
Happy with my
no,
skin.
No, but I'm just saying, I'm at the happiest point in my life. I can't wait to start the day.
Right. Okay, listen.
That's
but that's
me.
Your personality.
That's
it's her personality.
Saying. That's what I'm saying.
It could get sickening, too, Tammy Lee.
No, that's sad.
So it's kind of like, you know, everybody has what they like about themselves and what they don't like.
Of course.
My question is, you know, a lot of people really are not kind to themselves.
Oh, yeah.
They're just
not they're their worst
enemy. That voice in their head. Yeah. So I had kind of looked up all different things of, you know, how could people start loving themselves? So here's a couple ways how you can start loving yourself. One is you'll write a list of all the things that you hate about, let's just say, your body, okay, since we're kind of talking fitness.
Sure.
So what you hate about your body, and then write another list of the things that you love about your body.
Mm-hmm.
And most likely, I would think that the love about your body is going to be much greater than the other one. But you're going to take the one that's the negative list and promise your body that you will only start paying attention to those positive, loving aspects about your body. But you're acknowledging what it is that you're at unease about your body, but you're going to forgive it and you're going to release it. And I want you to burn the negative paper.
That's a wonderful
Let it
exercise.
Go.
That's great. Yeah. I like that.
Another one that you could do is you can make three columns, and the first list is kind of still talking body, where you started. So if you're saying, well, I just started my fitness program back 20 years ago, and I hear this a lot, and I did your videos, and I was in the best shape of my life, and then I got married, I had kids, and life happened, and here I am, and I'm 20 pounds overweight. So, but start with, okay, that list of where you started, and then your present, where you're at now, and then the future.
Yeah.
What does that look like?
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's kind of like, well, look where you started, look where you are right now, and look where you want to get. Is where you want to get same as the first column? Because remember, if it's been 10 or 20 years, on an average, a person will gain usually 8 to 10 pounds per decade as we age, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So be kind to yourself. And then the third one is write a letter to yourself. Write a letter and fall in love with yourself. And as if you were talking to your best friend, but it's you. It is your best friend.
Yeah.
And forgiveness for what you have done and said in your head, and promise not to do that again.
I think that's
those are ways
definitely.
To.
That does make the most sense. But, you know, how many, again, and I don't want to be gender specific, but it's really women that are the most cruel to their bodies.
Yes.
Because we're beholden to standards that might not necessarily apply to us. So to tell a woman, I think that's the best thing. I mean, look.
That's because there's so much pressure on a female than there is a male.
Well, you know.
But I've seen a lot of males that really, really are the same with their bodies. They hate their bodies, and they abuse it, too.
Yeah. Well,
they do abuse it. They're more quiet about it. They're not as more vocal about it.
They don't have the platform to
talk exactly,
about
you know,
because,
and they're embarrassed if they do because who are you? You're a male.
Yeah.
Well, you shouldn't be.
Well, and it's
that.
A lot easier for them to drop weight than it is for us, obviously, especially in menopause. One of my favorite books that I recommend, I've been recommending for years and years, is the author is Deborah Waterhouse, and I just love her books. But this one is called Outsmarting the Midlife Fat Cell. And she's just really real and tells it the way that it is. But there's a poem that she has in there, and it's called An Apology to My Body.
Wow.
And it goes like this.
Amazing.
For all the times I hated you, said you were too fat, too ugly, too anything. For all the times I cried in frustration because you didn't look like I wanted you to. For all the times I put you down in my own mind and in front of others. For all the times I allowed someone to criticize you and judge you as not good enough. For all the times I thought you were awkward, graceless, clumsy. For all the times I tried to change you by dieting, depriving you of true nourishment. For all the times, forgive me. Forgive me for not seeing you as the wondrous and beautiful body you really are and always have been. Isn't that beautiful?
But that really is, you know, that just, I mean, it puts to words most women, I would say 90% of women's relationship with their bodies. Mm. It's that love-hate, more bordering on hate.
Yeah.
You're always trying to be better, always trying to, you know, I want to look this way in a bikini, so I can't. And it just, you know.
Don't you think it's because it goes back to their comparison themselves
with what the media is putting out there. Everybody's comparing
not just
them
the media, but all the influencers that are being, you know, putting their bodies out there. I mean, if I see one more, you know, picture of someone, you know, taking a picture in front with their butt, it's like, really?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's just that's not what's important.
And I can't stand the ones that you see in the fitness, like on Instagram or on Facebook. The ones that are showing if they're, you know, the 12 packs, and these are girls. Mm-hmm. They don't even have a stitch of fat on their bodies. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yes, and they're young girls, and that's why.
Yeah,
I said,
they're young girls. They're not
time,
like our age.
They will make a difference. But you can't, just like you can't believe everything in the media because everything's touched up, it's the same on the platforms. You've got to remember that you can go in and take anything off. You can take wrinkles off. You can do everything to make things look good. And most of the people that are doing what they're doing on Instagram, they're supposed to be so social, are not even social. They don't even like people. And and most of them can't even, like, I know some that teach, that show fitness on there, but they could never teach it.
Yeah.
They wouldn't know what to do if they got in front of a group of people and said, because they only know what to do behind the camera in their own living room.
Exactly.
And you know what I think the curse of menopause is? We learn at the feet of our mothers, who are of a totally different mindset and generation. So this is it. I mean, my mother was older when she had me. My mother was 37 when she had me, which back in the day was unheard of. But the thing is, when I wasn't of age to ask her what she went through during menopause, but I was probably 13 when she was 50, so she already entered it. But the thing is, it was so different, and women's tone and women's description of themselves was very different in that generation. So we would get a very different answer than we would now.
Because of different social media things.
But I'm just saying, a woman's mindset is very different now because of what we've gone through than our mothers, who were, you know,
a different generation.
Stay at home, have babies, and that's really it.
And they really haven't seen much than we do because we're outside.
But of course. That's what I'm saying.
And
so
they didn't have computers. They didn't have any of that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The cruel joke of menopause is we ask our mothers, who were in it in a very different race than we are.
But I think it was even better when they were than we are.
You think so?
I think so, only because, who wants to feel, of all the stuff that you're supposed to go through menopause, how many times is thrown in your face? You get the hot flashes, you get this, you get that. But
your mother would say, you would
stop getting your period and that's it. What else would she tell you?
But in those days, they didn't really have as much of a handle of
have the data.
The chemical breakdown,
right.
Why you would have a hot flash.
Mm-hmm.
Women would just go through the quote-unquote crazies.
Right.
And their husbands never understood it, and they didn't understand it. And they were just like, what, you kind of roll your eyes, and that was it.
I like it better in the old days.
I don't know.
I do.
What do you think, Kathy?
I like it better.
No, remember back in our mother's days, they didn't have bioidenticals. They didn't have a lot of things that were offered to us now.
Exactly.
Because I remember when I first started, I, of course, did everything natural, and they would work for a little while, and then they wouldn't. And then my gynecologist would go, let's put you on this. And they'd put me on something synthetic. I'm like, be like, oh, my God, I can't do this. Get me off. It would instantly put on 7 pounds, and I would be a raging you-know-what. And and so I just I got off it. And then it's almost like everybody's body's different. And what works for one may not work for another. What worked for me was the bioidenticals.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, when I got the right combination and balancing my hormones, I was able then to drop some weight and feel better and sleep and not have the hot flashes.
Right.
So, but now, because of the hysterectomy, I'm thrown back in it. I can't take anything. I'm starting all over, and I can't take anything.
Yeah.
So all I can do is change my attitude. So right now I am, I hate to go back to the scale, but I'm not comfortable in my body at this weight.
Right.
But I'm being kind to myself because it's not that it's because I'm not exercising and eating right. It's because my hormones, which our hormones are the CEOs of our bodies, okay?
Right.
And when they are out of whack, there is nothing we can do, but we have to stay on the path of being kind to ourselves, loving ourselves, focusing on what is right and good, because if you stay in it where it's not good, again, those cells are going to just sink in all the negative feelings, and that's what you don't want. You've got to find your happy spot. I always say, if the one thing that can just so make me happy, just throw me in the middle of a bunch of puppies and let them crawl all over me and lick me.
No.
that would change my attitude in a heartbeat. It's just
French
like
bulldog puppies. Oh my god.
Yes.
Oh, that would be
I love the breath. Yeah, so it's changing, you know, your attitude. And no, I don't look like I did when I did the Buns of Steels. I am what I would consider, you know, 15 pounds overweight right now. But it's not about the 15 pounds. It's about my body is going through something right now, and I'm going to support her. I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt and know that this is Mother Nature. This is what happens to us. And I'm going to get through it, and she's going to help me get through it, and I'm going to come out at the other end. And, yes, I might have wrinkled, dry skin, but you know what? I have a healthy body that can get me outside and teach those classes and help motivate other people. And I love helping people, which brings me, when you girls said, well, what's new? I am putting together an online fitness wellness coaching program.
Oh, and wonderful.
Yeah. And I, you know, I've gone out and looked at, I've looked at other people's, and I got to tell you, I don't want an app. I don't want you to have to get an app. I'm not going to send you a bunch of, you know, videos and pictures of of other people's workouts. I want it to be very personal. I like meeting people. I like talking to people, which I find this whole social media, because it's not about that. I mean, you're engaging, but you're really not, because you don't have any contact. So I want mine to be where I am going to Skype you. We are going to see each other, and you're going to get. I have so many videos and content. Now the workouts might look, you know, I look great in there, and I've got the old style hairdo, but the exercises don't get old.
No,
they still work.
The same.
I love it. I love it.
Yes, they still work. So I'm going to have. I'm going to offer three programs, and one is just it's just a 30-minute consultation. If you just want to call and talk to me, 30 minutes, call and talk to me. If you want to share your, you know, this is what I'm doing, what can you tell me in the 30 minutes, that's what we'll do. The other one I'm offering is I really encourage, because we're talking about how do you keep on your, you know, path to getting in shape, and sometimes having a workout buddy helps. So I'm doing small groups, up to four people in a group. So it's cost effective. So it's a, you know, everybody is participating. It's not individual, but it's a group. And it's a 21-day program. You have options to add nutrition if you want. And then the last one, of course, is a one-on-one. And it's with me and a girlfriend of mine that's a holistic nutritionist. And you get the whole enchilada for 30 days. We want to transform your body.
That's great.
So
that's all it takes.
I'm hoping to get that up and out by sometime in February. But, you know, I'm putting all the back ends together because I'm editing all the videos, and all the videos are like mostly 10-minute little workouts. So when you get your workout, you're going to get a video, 10 minutes, and then I'm, in addition, I'm producing little mini workouts, 10 minutes, again, that I can add to these workouts.
Oh,
you're getting a lot.
That's great.
Yeah.
You are getting a lot.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and as I'm talking to you, I'm thinking to myself, you were the face of a generation. You were the face of the 80s and the 90s, easily. What about, I mean, everybody's doing memoirs. I mean, what about something?
She still wants to help people.
No, but that's helping people. That's not helping people.
No,
she still wants
to be involved.
Oh, no, I am working on a book.
Good. Okay.
So I've started the book, but the book is not my priority right now. The book is next, but so I work a little bit on it each day, but I really want to help people online through Skype or any which way that we can do this. And then the book is one of those that, yes, it tells my story, how I became the brand of Buns of Steel. And then with each along my path and my journey, there were lessons that I didn't realize they were lessons then. And so I explain what my lesson was, and then I give a call to action. So anybody that's looking to brand themselves, they would find this book hopefully appealing. Anybody that knew me or worked out with me and felt that close with Buns of Steel would read it just for the biography of it. And then, of course, I will put like my favorite exercises and why I chose those exercises. So that's kind of what the frame of the book and what I'm wanting to do, but I don't see getting that done until later in the year. Right now I'm focusing on that online fitness wellness that's very personal.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think that's, you know, because the truth is, as we go through life and the different stages, and again, we don't stay 25 forever. That's just the way it is, and that's the way our parents want it. We have to grow and evolve. The fact that you were the picture of health, and then issues happen. Life hands you a certain
thing, life,
and issues happen, and here you are on the other side of those issues. And that's what people need to see.
But though it's wonderful, she still wants to help people I'm just saying in general.
No, I think absolutely. But, you know, you help people by and again, generously
being an example.
Exposing yourself and being honest with what's happened. And that's what people need to see. Because it's like, yeah, you know what? She did everything the right way and stuff still happened.
Right. Or, you know what? I'm going
does.
Through the same thing
there
she
you go.
Is.
The
so,
relatability.
You know, maybe we could just, you know,
yeah.
do it together.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I'm obviously gearing this toward our generation. This is not for the weak young ones. This is for those of us that – you know, have the time and the money to do it, and they're really serious. They're not comparing themselves, and we're all in this together, the same age. I get it. My skin isn't the same, but I know I can strengthen my muscles.
Right.
So, that's, and I'll be giving affirmations, daily affirmations, and the consultations, and
that's great. It's almost
like
seeing a psychiatrist, health specialist, everything in one.
And I'm sure you're doing a big press release with this, yes?
Oh, yes. So once I get the back end done, we've got a marketing plan in place, and hopefully, you know, because it's a different game now. You've got to do everything on these platforms, and so finding where my demographics are and letting them know and that hey, this is available. If you want it personalized, here it is. I'm here.
You know, in an abstract way, I think this is the perfect time for it because we are in the age of sexism and ageism. And I think that right now that platform is just, it's just going to cultivate a lot of interest because, this is, you know, why should we be ashamed that we're of a specific age? And I still think people in their 20s could learn from this.
Oh,
I don't think it's specific.
If they're not like, just like, you know,
I don't know.
Have that attitude, but definitely.
I tend to think the climate is changing, and I think most women are moving towards thinking, you know, forward as opposed to.
I don't know. I have a 20-year-old. She ain't like that.
Well, that's different. That's a totally different story.
She ain't there yet, Tammy Lee.
She's not there. She might be. She might be.
Maybe
20,
in her 30s, 40s, but.
Yeah, but I think that's
a
great. Yeah, I think
it's a great idea, and you're going to definitely flock to a lot of women that need the help.
And you know, before you
Thank
leave,
you.
Anything else that you want to talk about? I mean, that's great.
Well,
and actually, email me all the information so I could put it on our website tomorrow, and I could have our PR people.
I will once I get it all together in the marketing stuff together. We're still in the early stages. Because it's a lot of work editing all of my videos
and
getting them, you know, into a Dropbox so that, because I want sometimes people our age aren't tech savvy. So it's got to be simple, and that's why I'm not using the app.
And exactly. And are you doing this or are you getting help doing it? Because I could never do that because we're not tech savvy.
I have a girl I'm
25.
That's what sucks about being our age. We don't know so much about computers.
We have to know.
Yeah, I'm pretty good with that stuff, but I do understand that some people are not. And
right.
So I want to make it as simple as possible where they just either, you know, they're sent just to YouTube or an easy place for them to go, and that's where their workouts are. They get an email with whatever other information, the nutrition plan. So it's really easy. It's not just, you know, because I see so many personal apps that are like, okay, I'm going to coach you and this is the app that I'm going to use. And, you know, you're sending their workouts. So
right.
they're kind of standard workouts. And I want mine. I think
right.
that's what made it so fun
well,
was,
right.
you know,
well,
people
well,
would
makes
say,
it personal.
And yes, making it personal.
There's going to be a lot of bites for this. There's no doubt about it because your name still carries. So
yeah.
There's, I can't imagine.
Especially when women our age,
yeah.
everybody knows
yeah.
who you are. So it'd be
I
easy.
Think even young, the younger generation, people, you know, their daughters know her. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
I get a lot of mom and daughters that
yeah,
work out.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
Or I'll be somewhere and someone will say, oh, my gosh, my mom worked out with you all the time. And I'm like, thank you for not saying your grandmother. Not yet. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. But you know what?
It's nice and it's not.
Well, you know what?
Yeah.
Okay. But, you know, their mothers, there's nothing wrong with that.
No,
I mean, the
you
fact
know,
that,
just being remembered is nice.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Somebody somebody remembered that their mother remembered you. So that's a beautiful thing. Tammy Lee, thank
yeah.
you so much.
It's been a pleasure as always.
And thank you.
Oh, you guys are welcome. And,
yeah,
you know, the other thing that I'm doing now is, because you girls have inspired me, I do have a podcast. It's called It's Still About the Buns.
I love it.
And I'm only doing a couple of them a month for right now because I'm really obviously busy on this program. But, Podomatic, it's on there, it's on a few of them, and it's called It's Still About the Buns. And right now there's, I think, 5 episodes. So, yeah, and it's always so nice to talk to you ladies. Thank you so much for always thinking of me and inviting me on your show.
Thank you, and all the best of health to you. And anything that you want to plug or anything, just send our way and we'll put it on a wall. Thank you so much, love.
All right, thank you. Have a great blessed day.
Bye-bye.
She's
inspirational.
Oh,
she really
always
is.
And,
you know,
no matter what, right?
That's the beautiful thing. It's,
no matter
you know,
what.
I think it's very important for people to see that she did all the right things. And, you know, stuff does happen to you.
Listen, how many people we know that run, that work out, have heart attacks, just like that?
Yeah.
They die.
And that's it. And
it's your time.
You know, our contemporaries aren't promised tomorrow.
Right.
You know, when we're in college, we expect
we're
to see our friends
we're
the next
invincible.
Day. We're going to go out. We're going to drink with our friends the next day.
Definitely.
At this age, it's nice to know that it's more likely a probability that we will see them. But when they pass or when they take ill,
we're not surprised.
It's like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, but and she's just doing wonderful things. And you know what? It's fitness, and we will say this as a collective, is such a very hard industry. And the fact that this lady still could surface after so many years and have a buoyancy that she does and try to reinvent herself, it's a wonderful thing. And it's mostly a testimony to her and her positivity. And her thinking forward and her not getting caught up in, well, I was this then, and she just moves forward. So that's Tammy Lee Webb. She's just a wonderful lady. And that's our show for today. And
sure
I want to thank Tammy Lee Webb for being a good friend of the show and always coming on.
Big inspiration for everybody.
Big inspiration, as always. And I want to thank my co-host,
thank you for
being my inspiration
thank you
and
for
coming
my co-host
coming on and
well, thank
doing
you.
A great show because you know what unlike I mean people think it's easy this is not easy
no that's why she said she only had 5 shows
this ain't easy we've been doing this for 5 years now this ain't easy and you come in sometimes and you had a bad day and blah, 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 and you stop in the studio, put the headphones on, and you just got to do what you got to
exactly.
do and leave it all behind. And I thank you for that and thank the audience for listening, as always. Yeah. And this weekend, ladies, wherever you are, there is going to be the Women's March.
Yeah.
So even if you aren't marching, do something that is reflective of the movement. And I don't mean you have to do something that is reflective. And that even if it's something like watching a video that is that propels the movement, watching something that's cutting edge, going out and doing something, visiting a museum that has Georgia O'Keeffe, anything that is pro-women, do it this weekend. You don't have to do it if your crowds are not your thing. You don't have to do it in a crowd. Do something. You know what? Even if it just means friggin' blasting Helen Reddy, I Am Woman, do that. But this is the weekend to do it because we never needed more of a voice than we do now. And it's up to us and the men that walk with us. This is how we do it, and we've done it since we've gotten the right to vote. So let's do it this weekend and really mean it. I think it's more important than anything now. Yeah. And we will join you again next week, and Nina will take us home. Go
take
out,
us
make
home,
it a good
Nina.
One. Bye-bye, people.
One, two.